This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Yesterday's presidential order to cap executive salaries at financial firms that take federal bailout money may wind up being more symbolic than strict, but it did serve to remind us of the enormous chasm between the top and the bottom of the wage scale. The CEO of American Express took home $50 million in 2007. The head of Goldman Sachs, $54 million. Merrill Lynch's former top executive, $84 million. Actors and athletes can also do amazingly well. Tom Cruise makes upwards of $60 million a movie. Between winnings and endorsements, Tiger Woods earned $115 million last year. Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez makes more than the entire Florida Marlins roster. The president of little-known Suffolk University in Boston is paid almost $3 million a year, the highest of any college president in the country. So who should make the most money? Educators, entrepreneurs, people who generate profits, or those who create jobs? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us talk at npr.org. You can join the conversation on our website, too. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. We begin with Dean Faust, Atlanta Bureau Chief for Business Week, who joins us from the studios of member station WABE in Atlanta. Nice to have you back in the program, Dean.
Oh, a pleasure to be here.
And 500 grand might seem an awful lot, like to you or me, but I've read that it's about what Wall Street traders make 3 or 4 years after they start on the street.
It is. Not everyone. The numbers I've seen at Citigroup, which employs about 300,000 workers, about 3 to 5,000, somewhere between 3 and 5,000 of those workers make more than 500,000 a year. The same at J.P. Morgan Chase. About 1% of the workers at that company do. But look what we're seeing out of the Obama administration here. This initiative proposal to cap executive pay at $500,000. I think most immediately it is a response to the populist outrage that Wall Street fat cats were making. Stan O'Neill, the former CEO of Merrill Lynch, left the company in disgrace with parting gifts of $150 million at a time when the firms are losing money hand over fist and having to come rattle their tin cup to Uncle Sam, to taxpayers, to bail them out. I think a little deeper than that, I think there is a bit of the populist outrage, but I think there's also this is also moved by Obama to try to reverse this disconnect that had built over time, this income inequality, where we had a winner-take-all society. We were clearly had become a winner-take-all society where executives were enriched for shifting jobs offshore. They were given bonuses if they were able to bring the company's cost structure down by breaking unions. And I think move us back to a time when there's more of a common tribal bond between worker and management and help build this sense that as Americans, we're all in this together.
Who else makes $500,000 a year?
Not as many people as you think. The average, the latest numbers I've seen from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the average household income in the United States is about $50,000 a year. And if you adjust for inflation, that's below the household income of 1999. Clearly, a lot of the best paid athletes, the minimum salary now in Major League Baseball is not above $500,000, but it's not too far away at about $400,000
a
year. The last guy sitting on the bench of any NBA team is making about $800,000. That's about the minimum salary. Actors, Hollywood, Oprah Winfrey will makes about $150 million a year. David Letterman, about $32
million. I'm here to testify that not all talk show hosts are in that category. Nevertheless, it is curious about the way we make these decisions in our society. And in the case of bankers, at least it can be argued that they bring a lot of profit to their shareholders and therefore they're worth it.
We are a capitalist society. And whether it is fair or not, the people that make the most money in the country tend to be those workers who bring in the bacon for their employers, which explains why sales reps can make over $500,000, particularly if they're selling Boeing aircraft or expensive software installation programs, while the average salary for a firefighter last year was, the latest data from BLS, $47,000. The average police officer's salary was $46,000. Bank tellers, 24,000. Carpenters, 31,000. Postal carriers, 47,000. And teachers, the average teacher salary, about 45,000. But that's the way a capitalist society works.
Let's get some callers on the conversation. Who should make the most money? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Jody's on the line from Boise, Idaho.
Hi.
Hi, Jody.
My comment is I think policemen and firefighters and the people who pick up the trash every day should make more money, quite honestly.
And why is that? Obviously, the first two of those are pretty dangerous jobs.
Yeah, horribly dangerous, and they get very little pay and very little recognition for what they do every day, which is putting their lives on the line.
Well, coal miners also have a dangerous job, taxi cab drivers, even convenience store clerks.
True.
But they're not in public employ.
Right, and I guess they weren't the first people that came to mind for me.
Okay.
Because, again, you know, they're just in charge of the public safety, firemen and police officers.
They put their lives on the line to protect ours, often.
Pretty much every day,
yeah. Jody, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, sure.
And you gave us, remind us, you just gave us their average salaries a minute ago. Dean Faust, remind us.
The average salary for a police officer is about $46,000. And that can vary by city, by state. In New York, the average police salary is about it's over $50,000. In Houston, it's about the average is about $44,000.
And that varies with the cost of living and various other factors. Yeah.
With the cost of living.
Yeah. For coal miner, by the way, do you know that by any chance?
I don't have coal miner.
All right. Maybe we'll get somebody to look that up on the
web. Or maybe we'll have a coal miner call in.
Or maybe have a coal miner call in. But let's talk right now with Ron Shapiro, who's a sports agent and an attorney. He's represented ballplayers, including Cal Ripken Jr., Jim Palmer, Kirby Puckett, among many others. He joins us from studios at the Baltimore Sun in Baltimore. Ron, nice to have you on the program again.
Good to be with you, Neil.
And you must get this asked a question a lot. How in the world do you justify the huge salaries that some major league ballplayers and others can get?
Well, you really don't justify them, because the real question is what people should get and what people do get. And the justification, I guess, comes not in a social value sense. It comes in an economic impact sense. And unfortunately or fortunately, we live in a society which is so entertainment-oriented that really sports today are a part of the great entertainment conglomerate. The entertainment conglomerate has been paying in inordinately high salaries for a long period of time. I might add, I'm not a very good prognosticator, because a number of years ago I represented Oprah Winfrey, and she was in Baltimore, and they were trying to convince her to come to Chicago, and I was telling her, well, look, Oprah, go to Chicago, and you'll be on the national stage someday, and you'll make more than $1 million a year, and I was only $150 million off, so, you know. But that is the entertainment industry. It gets an inordinately large piece of the dollar.
Because it generates a lot of profit.
It does, but it now, right now, is trying to reconfigure itself and figure out how to deal with the economic downturn. And I dare suggest that we will see some people who were earning 40 and 50 million earning only 20 and 30 million. Isn't that a shame? But
yeah.
That's the way it works. And I think there'll be readjustments in other pieces of the entertainment industry, like the sports world.
I wonder, have you ever found yourself in the middle of a negotiation for a very high-salaried athlete or entertainer, and then thought to yourself just for a minute, says, this is ridiculous?
I have. But you see, I've represented people, extraordinary people like Cal Ripken Jr., who are willing to leave ridiculous on the table, and they still earn enormous amounts of money, but go for other value-based, like being part of a community for a long period of time. I will say this. I have observed negotiations. You mentioned Alex Rodriguez earlier. When mm-hmm. he went to Texas, the closest bidder for his services was something like $160 million, and the exuberance of the owner of the Texas Rangers said, I'll give him $250 million. And that was irrational exuberance in an economic sense, but it certainly pushed the entire sports marketplace dollar up the scale.
And we could all rest easy because Alex has subsequently renegotiated that contract.
He's gotten a few more dollars in New York, but hasn't found happiness, which is another piece of this. But we won't talk about that today.
We're not going to talk about that today. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Randy. Randy with us from Grand Junction, Colorado. Who should make the most money, Randy?
Hi, Neil. Traditionally, what happens in this country, and it's what's made it operate so well, is people at the forefront of their technology or the forefront of their field. You mentioned carpenters make about $31,000. Somebody that's a contractor that has a product that a lot of people like will make a lot more than that. And people that don't really have great ideas will make less than that. But you've got to be able to string an idea together and bring it to fruition to have money like that.
I assume you're speaking both about those who come up with the great ideas, the inventors, if you will, and those who can...
Well, or the ball players. It could be the athletes. People will pay me. I enjoy seeing a college game where there's not professionals as much as seeing a professional game.
But Randy has really hit the nail on the head. He's talking about carpenters, so I'll mention that. In the sense that, you know, we're not talking about all athletes getting millions. I'll never forget there was a news anchor, a national news anchor I represented, who complained about athlete salaries. And I brought him to a batting cage that I had at my home, and I turned it up to 90 miles an hour. And he stood there for 2 minutes and watched the ball whiz by and was frightened and walked out and said, "I understand." By the way, that same news anchor went out and asked me because there was free agency in the news anchor marketplace nationally, to go out and get him the biggest contract, and that marketplace expanded and he got a big one. And yet in today's world, because of the profusion of outlets for news, the dollars have gone down. So it's kind of interesting. This is economics 101, supply and demand.
And that's what's made this country operate. You know, that's what's made it so great. People have the incentive to go out and try and, you know, I've been trying to come up with a great multi-million-dollar idea for years, and it's really hard to come up with something and bring it to completion, you know, like the guy that makes the Snicker bars. I'm sure he makes a lot of money.
Randy, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. I have to say I suspect live pitching at about 75 miles an hour, and I didn't so much as see it, but I did hear it, and that was plenty scary. You forget, those balls make a lot of sound as they whiz past your head. We're talking with agent Ron Shapiro in Baltimore, and of course with Dean Faust, who's the Atlanta Bureau Chief for Business Week magazine. Our question today, who should make the most money? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Courtney. Courtney calling us from Baltimore.
Yes, hello. My answer is the small business owners should make the most money, because small business owners, they are the ones who really drive the American economy, especially nowadays. And if you give a small business owner, an employer, a great deal of money, they can do a lot more with it. With newer technology, we could have better pay for our working class citizens, which is really what the problem is in the recession is. Working class citizens can't afford to take care of themselves as much as they used to. We really need to concentrate on getting the money flowing to them. I mean, that's what I would think. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Courtney, thanks very much for the call. And Dean Faust, obviously they were the highest paid. They wouldn't be, by definition, would no longer be small business. But nevertheless, I think Courtney's right. The statistics I've read show that the majority of the jobs in the country are in small businesses, and the majority of the jobs created in the country are created by small businesses.
That's correct. My question to the caller, though, is if small business owners should be paid more, who are we expecting to pay them? Taxpayers? I'm not sure. You're correct. Small businesses do create the vast bulk of jobs. There's also an extraordinarily high failure rate for small businesses. About 80% of small businesses fail within 10 years.
And Dean, in addition, small business owners, I've represented a lot of corporations in my law practice, small business owners do get a return. I mean, if they are successful, and I think it was implied by something that Neil said, they become larger business owners. And I know a number of small businesses where they have an idea, where they execute on the idea, they start making those seven-figure kinds of salaries that aren't written about because, you know, they're private companies.
not on the stock market. And it's also one of the most difficult things is to take a small business, even one that's doing very well, and grow it into a big business because the management difficulties go on and become very difficult. By the way, in an answer to an earlier question, coal miners' average salary, $21 to $22 per hour. Let's talk with Rock. Rock with us from Tucson, Arizona. Tucson, I suspect that is.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
I would like to nominate a category of workers that impact every single person in the United States. And what I'd like to do is have everybody, once they start working, put money into a general fund and one-half of 1% of everything they make for the rest of their life, and we give this to these people as a bonus. And I think that it's teachers that should deserve this.
Dean Faust, not just a nomination, but a way to pay them.
That's right.
I agree. There are certain people in society that I think should be paid more. The teachers who educate my children, certainly. After the events with the U.S. Airways flight on the Hudson a couple of weeks ago, suddenly I'd like to see pilots being paid more than the executives that run the airlines.
Personally,
as a passenger.
The executives just run the airlines into the ground. The pilots can land it in a river.
Yeah, you know, teachers... It's an interesting question because for years and years, there was the lament in society that we underpaid teachers, and teacher salaries have gone up. The average salary is $45,000, but if you look in some urban markets, Long Island, the average teacher salary is $78,000, and to find teachers making over $100,000 is not unusual for teachers with 20 years or more experience in those markets. But the question is, test scores have not risen during this period when teacher salaries have gone up dramatically. You can argue that that's probably more the fault of parents than anyone. But with the higher teacher pay, do we have the ability to demand better performance? Do you have the ability to weed out underperforming teachers? And up to now, the answer has been no. The unions have been very strong and have protected tenure.
Rock, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Dean Faust of Business Week. He's in Atlanta. And Ron Shapiro, who's an agent attorney. His most recent book is Dare to Prepare, How to Win Before You Begin. And he's joining us from a studio at the Baltimore Sun. And if you joined us late, there is news today. Pancreatic cancer surgery for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She is out of surgery, reported to be resting comfortably. She is said to be ready to stay in the hospital 7 to 10 days, and though some are skeptical, plans to return to the Supreme Court within 3 weeks. Stay tuned to NPR News for further developments as they develop. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are the headlines from some of the other stories we're following today at NPR News. The auto supply industry is seeking federal bailout funds in order to stave off bankruptcies. The head of the industry trade group said today they were in talks with the government. And President Obama today picked a 26-year-old Pentecostal minister to head his Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. The president said he wants the office to work with groups that provide help, whatever their political or religious beliefs may be, but also said there should be strict adherence to the division between church and state. Right now, we're talking about paychecks. Ballplayers, bankers, movie stars pull in millions of dollars per year. Not the case for teachers, firefighters, or nurses, or public radio hosts, for that matter. Who should make the most money? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can go join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. And click on Talk of the Nation. Still with us, Business Week's Atlanta Bureau Chief Dean Faust and sports agent and attorney Ron Shapiro. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Mohammed is with us from Tulsa.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you for taking my call. I think the military personnel, they are the one who is sacrificing their life for us, and they are the one on the front line that they should get paid the most, not this bank executives, and that they're getting paid millions.
So you would be willing to see your tax rate increase substantially in order to pay all those men and women that money?
Well, we're paying this executive anyway.
There's only a few executives, and there's an awful lot of people in the military.
True, but I mean, but they're protecting us, though.
I understand that.
Any
statistics? Any statistics, Dean Faust, on how much the typical member of the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, or the Air Force makes?
Give me a minute and I'll have it for you.
All right. We'll get that for you in just a minute. In the meantime, let's see if we can go now to Robin. Robin with us from St. Louis.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
So I am considering that physicians should make more money than, at least in comparison to some of the executives and so forth, who are mainly profiting because they're making money for people for whatever reason, while on the other hand, you know, doctors are working to take care of people's health. And a lot of us, I'm a physician myself, a lot of us make a lot of personal sacrifice in order to be able to practice medicine.
Yet, as a country, we look at escalating health care costs. It's not necessarily the price of doctors per se, but health care costs skyrocketing in this country, Robin, to the point where a lot of people simply can't afford it.
Right. I know it's a very sad situation, and the thing that is surprising, I think, to a lot of my patients is although they're paying more for health care, either, you know, through their insurance plan or other, you know, medications or testing that they're having done, the reimbursement for the physicians is actually going down, and we're losing good people who would probably go into primary care health because the reimbursement is so poor that the salary just does not compensate for essentially the amount of worrying that you do. I take phone calls 24 hours a day on my beeper, except for on the weekend when my partners cover for me. Nearly every day, you know, I had the opportunity to be sued. And I'm afraid that, you know, these things are weighing on us, and it's keeping other people from coming into being a primary care physician. Because, you know, with all the headaches, you don't get at least a little bit of a reward. The thing that bothers me or that I worry about is, you know, we're trying very hard to move toward having everyone covered so that they can be taken care of and have, you know, some type of health care. I think that's wonderful. And I think the biggest thing that people are confusing is that if everyone had insurance, that everyone would get great health care. I think the problem is insurance,
And they're profiting. I think, Robin, we're going to have to debate the healthcare system as a whole on another day.
Well, that'd be great. But, you know, I just think that part of the problem is the money's going elsewhere to people who are just trying to make money on sick people instead of people who are providing a service.
All right, Robin.
So I really appreciate the chance to talk.
All right, Robin, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. And now let's go to Jim. And Jim's with us from Coral Springs in Florida.
Hi, Neil. How you doing?
All right.
Good. I think that the question is not so much how much is too much. The question is, that who should make the most? The question is how much is too much? I mean, these people making millions and millions of dollars having golden parachutes, I think that in and of itself is too much. I think that should be the debate, not who should make the most, just that the most is too much. And I think it's a horrible thing for our society when people are making there's obscene amounts of money, and then there are people who are losing their jobs and losing their homes. I mean, that's the question that needs to be asked. And
all right, how much, Jim, is too much? Where do you draw the line?
I think it's too much when your lifestyle can be so opulent that it pales in comparison to anybody else on the planet.
Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar figure, Jim. How much is too much?
Maybe it's because I came from a middle class family. But I think anybody making over $10 million a year to do a job as a CEO is too much money. I think, I'm sorry, I know there's a lot of work involved with it, but I'm sorry. You know, they can stockpile so much money and hide it and not pay taxes on it. It's just ridiculous. I think there needs to be some way to say, and I love the fact that he's saying $500,000. If you're going to take money from the government, then you're going to have to, I can't even say that's hurting. It shouldn't be hurting to me. If I make $500,000 a year, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
So I think it's great.
Dean Faust, there are those who say, you know, these Wall Street executives say, look, if you cap this at $500,000, first of all, the most talented people in these companies that are now partly owned by the taxpayers, the most talented people, and Jim, thanks for the call, they're going to leave.
And indeed, that's already starting to happen. You're already starting to see people at the largest firms look toward the boutique firms, small firms that are not under these restrictions, and when the job market improves on Wall Street, we'll be able to hire them away. And there is a risk. You know, on one hand, we are in this mess because we had firms that were supposedly too big to fail that the government had to jump in and rescue lest they take down the entire economy. But on the other hand, there would be times in previous crises where the head of the Treasury or the Fed could call in eight investment bankers, the CEOs of the largest investment banks, and say, we have a hedge fund that's about to blow up. You gentlemen have the wherewithal to solve this problem. And if you start dispersing all this talent to boutique firms, then they may feel no obligation to play that role in the future.
And Ron Shapiro, again, you're best known for sports, but you've also worked in the corporate area as well. And once you set a cap, a lot of people say, what's the incentive then if you're working at the very high ends of this?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because there are caps that have been set in the sports world, and it hasn't deterred talented athletes from wanting to still be in the sports world. And it's my belief that if caps are set, there will still be plenty of talented people who want to be part of the system. I mean, you know, $500,000 a year may not be the greatest incentive, but that cap is only tied to government infusion dollars. And the real issue, Neil, is that in the corporate world, in the public corporate world, we have compensation committees setting compensation who are appointed by CEOs whose compensation is being set, who go out and get compensation consultants who are paid by the corporations. And there's something doesn't figure there. And that's leads in part to this, look at what the other guy got, we'll give you more, and
right.
It keeps spiraling out of control. But the bottom line is, I do not believe that caps set at reasonably high level will deter talented people from being in the corporate world. It may send some from the big bonuses that they got in the investment banks on Wall Street to boutique firms, but there are plenty of talented people who want to create and build and will benefit in the long run if they build profitability, regardless of the caps.
Getting back to that question asked earlier, how much is too much? Have you ever been involved in a negotiation with representing an athlete, say, you're talking about, and I'm just going to pick numbers out of the hat here, but you're talking about $100 million, something like that, over 10 years in baseball. That money in baseball is guaranteed. It's not like some of the other sports. Nevertheless, and there's a big argument over another $2 or $3 million. Have you ever told the athlete, this doesn't matter? You know, $2 or $3 million more doesn't matter?
I have told them it doesn't matter. I mean, remember, I wrote a book called The Power of Nice, How to Negotiate So Everyone Wins, Especially You. And the bottom line is, you know, again, when you negotiate to achieve certain goals, but you don't negotiate to destroy the other side or to come out feeling that you necessarily have a victory. If my client gets to an economic point where we're debating a fraction of what he has achieved, and if he's happy where he is, I'm going to encourage him to stay there and not go to the marketplace to find a few more dollars and be unhappy someplace else.
We've gotten over 250 emails on the subject, so let's read a couple of them. Some tweets. E. Hansen 9 tweets, I think people who create the most value for the organization should make the most money, namely the inventors, developers of products. Pink Heels goes with nurses. We save lives. End of discussion. And finally, Manu Kumar reminds us we live in a market economy. The market determines the worth of a job or a role. This from Mark in Jackson, California. The rich and very rich allow for the existence of artisan and craft industries. I'm a winemaker, and I love the super rich. They buy wine, they buy wineries, and through that create lots of great jobs. Art, artisan foods, skilled craftsmen, and great car makers and mechanics all need the rich. This from Don in Cape Coral. This is one thing you have to consider is that public employees such as police, fire, and teachers receive generous retirement packages with insurance, as does the military, you should point out. I work in the private sector for a high-tech company, and while we make a higher salary than most public workers, we do not receive a retirement package, no medical insurance. People I know that are retired public service workers are doing quite well now. And this from Amarina in Grass Valley, California. I'm a registered nurse, and I believe the pathetic reimbursement rates for doctors these people have our, and I can't believe the pathetic reimbursement rates for doctors these people have our lives in their hands. We're talking today about, who should make the most money? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Our guest, just to re-identify, Ron Shapiro, an agent attorney, the author most recently of Dare to Prepare, How to Win Before You Begin, and Dean Faust, the Atlanta Bureau Chief for Business Week. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Junette. Junette with us from Spanish Fork in Utah.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the comment earlier that garbage people should make more money is kind of silly. The qualifications are very low. There's no education. I think when you have to have an education, when you're employing people, when you're doing things that require more experience, your money that you're making should naturally be higher.
Yes, I think a lot of people would argue that. A lot of people might say, though, that sanitation workers do something that few of us would be happy to do.
Well, I do appreciate my garbage getting picked up, but I think often when we accept a salary for a job, we are happy to get that salary because it matches what we are qualified to do.
All right, Jeanette, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
This from John in Durham, North Carolina. Mothers, because they put up with more crap than any CEO, and their work has a bigger effect on the future of humanity than any banker or software billionaire. I think none of us are going to vote against that, not go home tonight. Let's go to Stephen. Stephen with us from New York.
Yes, I think that vegetable and fruit farmers should be making some more money. We certainly can't go without having food in our country, and right now our farmers are not making enough, especially our small farmers, to survive.
And is this the business you're in, Stephen?
Yes, it is.
And how are you doing? This is in New York. I take it this is not planting season yet.
It's not, but I'm hanging in there. But, you know, I'm certainly not living, the high life. And I don't necessarily want to, but I think the reward should be higher. And when I see the reward for people who aren't necessarily doing essential services, you know, making such extreme amounts of money, I just don't think it's right.
And no one would argue that your work isn't difficult or that your margins are fat. Nevertheless, you get to work outside. You get to do something you presumably love to do.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with my work.
All right, Stephen, thanks very much.
Neil, could I interject for just 1 second?
Go ahead, Ron Shapiro.
Because I want to give a should. I have a son who's a general manager of a major league team. A son-in-law is a head coach of a NFL team. I have another son, many children, but another son who runs a nonprofit that mentors at-risk kids. The two professional sports guys believe that son who earns a fraction of what they earn should be earning twice what they earn. He's impacting on at-risk children, which is, you know, one of the great challenges in our society today.
Well, that gets back, Dean Faust, to, well, our culture, and it's how we make these decisions. And the system, as people describe it, I mean, there was this outrage again when we heard at Wall Street that John Thane, who decorated his office to the tune of $1.2 million, had taken the bailout money or had distributed the bonuses that year early just before accepting the bailout money. Nevertheless, people say, wait a minute, bonuses, they're part of the system. I get 40% of my annual income from bonuses.
We are a market economy. Yeah, your point about bonuses, that was one of the flaws in the system that the Obama administration is trying to correct. That so many people in the financial sector had the way that the compensation packages had been structured were that bonuses were an entitlement, and I think they're trying with some of the moves they're trying to make are trying to do away with that. We are a market economy. My brother is a social worker. He worked for years. His job was helping place children from troubled homes into foster homes and helping them work through the problems in their life and to help them become functioning adults. And he makes a fraction of what a professional athlete does. So, you know, to some degree, the salaries that a society says does indicate the values of what that society considers most important.
And should we weigh job satisfaction, again, talking to the farmer just a moment ago, should we weigh job satisfaction into all of this? Because, if you love what you do, you're certainly generally willing to take a little bit less.
Well, we were all told by some mentor at some point in our life to follow, when it comes to deciding a career, follow your heart or go with your heart and the money will follow. And when we're 22 years old, we never want to hear that. But as we get older, as we all get older, we find that was sage advice.
Ron Shapiro, what do you think?
Well, I think, let me just pick up on market economy. Let's take a look at the ultimate controlled economy, the when Soviet Russia was Soviet Russia. Who was the highest paid? Who did they place the most value on in that society where they could control everybody's economics? It was the goalie on the hockey team in Russia. Isn't that crazy? I mean, but again, as Dean says, it reflects the values we live by. We want to be entertained. We put a disproportionate amount of our resources in that world. I wish we could reorient it, because your listeners today spoke about a lot of people who ought to be paid more.
And according to an unscientific survey of our emails, tweets, and calls, the teachers won as the most often suggested. We're going to end with this email from Dan, an honest man in Chicago, who writes, "I should make the most money." Let's thank Dean Faust, the Atlanta Bureau Chief for Business Week. Thanks very much. He was with us from WABE in Atlanta.
My pleasure.
And Ron Shapiro, who is with us from the Baltimore Sun Studios in Baltimore, where he's most recently author of Dare to Prepare. Ron, thanks very much. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Neil.
I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.